This for all the soldiers in the struggle. Thank you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. This is your community resource podcast, right? And we make sure that we connect businesses and professionals to our community members to help uplift and empower our communities. I am your conductor, Joseph Ward, and as always, ride with me is the man with the plan, Mr. Patrick Irvin. What's going on, Pat?
Not much, good brother, not much.
Yeah. Remember, the Freedom Train podcast series is sponsored by PAX, Inc., and that's PACTSINC. PAX, Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.paxinc.org. That's www.pactsinc.org. And you know how we do. While you're already online, go ahead and visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to hear your favorite shows and, you know, learn more about us and our guests and our topics that we cover. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _FreedomTrain. And last but not least, you can download the Freedom Train podcast on iTunes and Google Play Music just by going to either platform, Google Play Music or iTunes, and typing in Freedom Train podcast and downloading it and being a part of the experience. Because if you don't know, now you know. Yeah.
For y'all.
No, I'm talking about.
What's up? Can I get 5 minutes real quick? I want to break this record on our show.
Go ahead.
All right. So I want y'all to listen in as we break this record. Trust me, it's a banger. It is a banger.
But see, like, he getting pimped and he don't even know it. Oh, shoot. He dropped
is
the beat.
Is
that it?
Nah. This is the beat.
It's the freestyle beat.
Joe finna go in.
Like Michael Biden.
Monique got first. Monique, you going first. Then I'm going second.
Monique, you going first.
You putting our secrets out.
Yeah, man. This is a banger, man. We got to... sound like Michael Myers.
Man, I was about to go in. Why you stopped it?
Man, what you stopping for?
I'm sorry.
It was all like this 4 miles. You gotta add like 2 more in there before you can start.
Man, Pat, you gotta put it back.
All right.
Oh, shoot.
Hey, why is that the classic line whenever black people hear a hot beat? Oh, shit.
Yeah, this for everybody.
That's my joy.
Who don't put deodorant on in the morning. Who go to the bed smell like an onion sandwich. Come on, come out.
Stanky face, motherfuckers.
Come on, come out. Get the eye boogers out. Get the boogers out your eyes. They're going down. Let me get y'all something like this. This 2015 style. Hey. B, C, D, E, F, G, motherfucker. You better say your words. I mean your letters.
Girl.
I drink spaghetti sauce. I wake up and my eyes open. I breathe air. I walk on my feet. I'm alive. You not.
They won't.
You don't. Then I'm breathing again. Then they grieving again. I got skin.
Stay woke.
Gum. Ribs. Lungs. Gosh.
Hashtag body down, Nick. Hashtag body parts, Nick.
You know what I'm saying? 1 + 1 sometimes equal 2.
What they know about math and biology.
You know, come on.
That's all we gonna give them. That's all we gonna give them. Yo,
man, whoever was rapping, they crazy.
Yo, hotness on the track.
What's the name of that group? A tribe called Quest Not. A tribe called Walking or something. Hey. So, man,
Now that you got, now that you dropped that hot track, which gonna be number one on the Billboard charts, man. Mm-hmm. What's good with you today? How you feeling today, my brother?
I'm feeling good. And you know what?
What's that?
For everybody, that track is actually a sample from another call we do, or a call we do every week
for the
PAX organization. Well, we basically just get together and we talk about what it means to be black in America. And the ones that we choose to publish, because we don't publish all of them, the ones that we choose to publish can be found on the PAX website. It's www.pactsinc.org. Drop that hot clip, because today we're going to be talking about hippity hop.
Hippity hop, rabbit music.
Hippo D hop.
Yeah.
Bugs Bunny verse on Space Jam.
From the beginning to the ending, to the nounding. If you don't know, now you know, baby. You know what I'm saying?
And all that breathing and stuff.
All that. Mm-hmm. So, this hip hop thing, man. We want to cover a couple things when it comes to hip hop, because you and I are both hip hop heads, who are not particularly happy about the current climate of hip hop. In particular, the way the culture is going, the shift that we can see in hip hop culture, and the obvious shift in the lyrics, like when I don't understand when I hear a rapper tell me that I don't have to rap on the track because the beat just that hard. To me, he's telling me that he just don't want to get paid no more, and he don't really want to rap no more, because you just told me that not to support you, but support the producer. But see, that's the way rap is going. But we're gonna deal with that. But we also want to deal with the history of hip hop, deal with the foundation of the culture and the art itself, the different elements of hip hop, what we think goes into being a great MC is, and if we were to rank MCs, what criteria would we use to rank MCs, and different aspects of hip hop. But really, we really want to focus on the culture and the actual rap and the MCs, and kind of break down, because I'm tired of getting all these lists about who the top 10 rappers, and they just kind of throw rappers out with no criteria that they use to kind of judge these rappers and stuff. So I want to kind of have an intelligent conversation about hip hop.
I feel you, and that's why we led off with one of the greatest hip hop songs of the modern era.
Hey, man.
Called Body Parts, In My Skin.
Body Parts, so, in My Skin, available on iTunes.
It is. All right, we'll be shortly. But I feel you, though. And it's a conversation we have quite often in a lot of different circles. Actually, we're both in a group called the National Hip Hop Association.
Mm-hmm.
Where we just basically sit around and talk hip hop all day long.
Right.
And there does seem to be a growing divide between the past generations of hip hop and the new generation of hip hop with respect to honing your craft, and doing the things necessary to become better, not just as a rapper, but as a representation of a culture and of a community.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that it's like, for me, is hip hop is not just music. Rap is the vocal aspect of the hip hop culture.
Right.
But because rap is the voice of the culture, it has so much weight and so much power and influence, and that isn't to be taken as lightly as the younger rappers seem to be taking it, largely because I think they're ignorant to the history of it and everything else. Like, it's become just another way to make money for them. Like, I'm just about getting paid. I ain't about all of that.
I mean, but listen, if I'm 19, when I really got into rap around 8, 9, or 10 years old or whatever, 11 years old, that's when I really got into it. I mean, what was the hip-hop scene like at that time? And because I hear a lot of the old heads who are angry at the younger generation for not knowing the culture, but I feel them. But who taught them the culture? Like, if it's like these young rappers, like when these OGs
see these young rappers coming out, are they reaching out to them? Because if I'm a 40-year-old man, I'm not expecting no 19, 20-year-old boy to take a man step that I expect him to take, and I'm the man. So I do think in that respect, the OGs, for one, let's just be real, the OGs didn't do a good job of curating the culture. Let's be honest about that. Right. Like some of these cats who are mad at these cats now, you know, when this stuff was first starting, they were the main ones saying, "Hey man, well, you know, I ain't trying to hate, huh? Let these cats get their paper." Now the game is out of hand, and now they mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they overlooked a lot of that stuff. Because I mean, the culture didn't just happen like this; it was a gradual downfall. And who was in charge of hip hop when that happened? And when I say that, I'm saying that understanding full well that corporations had owned hip hop at that time. But you still got to have some people who got rebel spirits, who's not going to allow the culture to be shitted on, and that didn't necessarily happen.
But that speaks to the deterioration of the culture,
right?
Because you know, when we start talking about hip hop was started as a rebel culture, a culture.
Right.
For the impoverished, for primarily blacks and Latinos who were living in ghettos and slums, to have a voice, for them to speak out, for them to share their experiences and what it meant to be living in these communities. Like that, you know, like from what I understand about hip-hop, that's the birth of hip-hop. Not just rap, but hip-hop. The dressing, the b-boying, the skateboarding, the graffiti, the... You know, the rap is included in all of that. All of that was birthed out of this desire to express the level of oppression that they were dealing with and they were experiencing. And so
right.
It started out as a rebel culture. And so the mere fact that it could be bought was one sign that things maybe were starting to go downhill. The mere fact that corporations were even allowed in, even though it's understandable to an extent, because when you're in poverty and all of a sudden somebody hands you a way out of poverty, it's understandable for you to want to take it. But, you know, it did show a sort of weakening of the stances when you didn't have independent labels and self-expressed crews anymore. Now you had these major labels that everybody was trying to get on to in the late 90s, early 2000s. And then from there, it just started getting worse and worse.
Well, let me ask this. Isn't the downfall of hip-hop just a huge spotlight on the downfall of black culture overall?
It is, because I think so. I think there are a lot of parallels between hip-hop and what has happened to it in the black culture and what, but I think that parallel exists because you're primarily dealing with the same group of people. And so you're primarily dealing with the same mentalities, just expressed differently. Does that make sense?
Right. I mean, because like, excuse me, if you go back and you look at the documentary Hip Hop Beyond the Beats and Rhymes, and I always mention that documentary because that is, you watched it. That's a great documentary on the aspects of hip-hop, like hip-hop at its finest and hip-hop at its worst. It's a good documentary, but like I forgot the lady in it, but she was talking about like in the 80s, in like the mid-80s, when the corporations came and started buying up the small record companies. And they were buying up the record companies that housed these hip hop acts and these rappers and stuff. And then, you know, gradually the game starting to change, you know, with NWA coming out, and then, you know, Ghetto Boys and stuff like that coming out, you know, the music started to change. And that was a direct contradiction to what was out with Public Enemy and some other groups coming up, like maybe not that time, late 80s, early 90s, Brand Nubian and people like that, with different types of messages that was going on. But at the same time, hip hop did have balance at that time.
Right.
And you can't be mad at the balance. Now, the difference now is there's no balance. It's all bullshit now. It's all crackerjack rap. Like when you are a rap, like think about this. Think about, imagine your teacher coming to your classroom or going to your parents and saying to your parents, hey, the culture of teaching has changed. I ain't got to stand in front of no classroom and actually teach your child. I ain't got to actually teach your child. Only thing I got to do is be in the classroom. That's unacceptable. Like, what other profession is it okay for the professional to not be equipped to do the profession? That's how you know that we allow this culture to just slip out of our hands.
And that speaks to a point that KRS-One has been making over and over again for at least a decade, is the lack of balance. You know, it's okay to have the party rappers that really ain't, you know, lyrically they not there, but, you know, they can
I mean, you had Busy B. You had Busy B. Starsky from the beginning, so you always had that element.
Right. The problem with modern hip-hop is there is no room for the lyricist, the conscious rapper, the guy that doesn't want to talk about partying, drugs, sex, and gunplay. You know, and those guys were able to exist when we owned the culture, because we owned the culture, and we were able to put those guys out, and we recognized that there was a need for those guys, and there were people that wanted to hear them. But when the corporations get involved, now all of a sudden the corporation is concerned, and this is something we see across all genres of music concerning smaller communities in America. That's when you start entering into the crossover. You gotta cross over. You gotta get a bigger audience so that you can make more money. Not for you, but for the record labels. Now, obviously that means a bigger percentage for you, but the record labels want more money. And by sheer numbers, there are more white people than black people, which means you have to appeal to the white audience that's crossing over. And when that happens, now you have to make yourself look familiar to them and at the same time make yourself look appealing to them. So what do they expect to see from black people? What do they expect to hear about living black life? They expect to see thugs. They expect to see guns, violence, death, murder, all of that. They don't expect to see intelligence and things like that. So that's naturally what the record labels are going to put out, because that's what their audience is going to buy, because it provides them an artificial high. They get to live in this imaginary world that doesn't really exist, that they think exists, by listening to these records. And so, you know, that all of that, though, is just introduced, as you said, by not just by the corporations, but by the people that allowed the corporations to get involved, by the people that didn't protect the culture, by the people that refused to take a stand. And in the late 90s, early 2000s, most every hip-hop head I knew felt like something was going wrong with the culture.
Right. They saw it. I mean, they felt it. Like I was watching a video the other day about Scarface talking about how hard MC Hammer and Kwame and Vanilla Ice, like rappers like that had it. They had it hard because at that time you had to prove that you were MC. But the fact that they had a room to exist, to that's when it started to show a crack in the foundation. And it's like nobody's saying that people can't make party music, but some of that music was whitewashed. Let's just be real. It was whitewashed music. And it wasn't authentic music that represented the culture. And that's what we're having now. Music that is idealistically and systematically designed to appeal to the white masses that it's eventually supposed to cross over to.
Right. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I mean, because like what Jada Kiss say, after 75,000, that's only white folk, right?
Yeah, what he said, I think he said, what, 100,000, 200,000, something like that, 600,000? It was something like that.
So, I mean, they know, like, the rappers, come on, man, the rappers know who's buying and who's not at a certain stage, because it's, you know, they start off underground, they start off these ways, and they have the black people supporting them, and then music changes. Well, that used to be it. Now the music is just designed specifically for the mainstream. There is no, it seems like it, there is no There's no soul like in the music anymore. There's nothing you can feel unless you are in similar situations or whatever. But some of that stuff is like the fact that you can feel this whack music mean that something is wrong with our culture, though. Our culture as a society of people. If you can relate to, because there's people in our society where we're taking care of business, people shouldn't relate so much to the ills of society and the fact that that's happening, meaning that it's not the music, it's the culture of the people that make the music, it's the people within the culture that make the music, and it's just reflected in the music.
Well, the deal is, like, people have gotten used to hearing garbage. And when you're used to hearing garbage, garbage starts to sound good. And I think that's where we're at now. I think for the larger masses, I think that's the case. I think for another segment of society, you know, that might not be the case. They might actually enjoy this music. And then I've actually met some people that use the music as a form of, as almost like research. You know what I'm saying? Like
research to research black people?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, but that's idiotic. That's idiotic. That's the same thing. But that's the same thing as saying that I can research white people from these crazy movies like all these Quentin Tarantino movies and the Purge movies and stuff like that.
Well, you think about it though, like, what's the first real interaction that most outside cultures have with the black culture?
No, I mean, and I do get that, and I understand where it's come from, because entertainment for a lot of times is the first interaction that other cultures have with black people.
But the problem we have with the mainstream is that it's getting so, like, even the tree, you say the tree above the ground, which would in this case represent mainstream music, it can only be sick for so long before that sickness finds its way to the root.
Right.
And right now, we're seeing, like, I've been listening to a lot of underground stuff. And even in the underground, which used to be the only place that you could go to get a wide variety of good content, even the underground now is starting to turn into the mainstream. Like, the mainstream is slowly creeping its way into the underground, where you do have guys who want to be famous, who want to be successful, they want to be able to pay their bills, and they think this is the only way they ever going to be able to do it. And so they're selling out and making this music far beneath what they're capable of making just for the paper. Now, I won't say it's a large segment of the underground just yet, because it's not. But the mere fact that it's a growing segment of the underground should be disturbing enough. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, let me ask this, kind of transition a little bit, so we won't just beat a dead horse, because we both are in agreement that the culture is, the hip hop culture is sick, because African American and Latino and white culture, the ones that created it, it's that culture itself is sick as well. So I want to dive a little deeper into, like, the aspects of the MCs, and because we always have conversations about who the best MC this, best MC that. So I just want to get from your perspective, what do you think goes into making a good MC versus, like, a good rapper?
For me, a good rapper is somebody that can rhyme, you know. And that's
when you say rhyme, break that down.
Well, when I say rhyme, I mean somebody that can match up syllable counts line for line. Somebody that can find a beat and stay on it. Somebody that, you know, can put together different rhyme schemes that flow together, that transition smoothly together. So we're not talking about the basic AABB format of poetry. We're talking about ABDB, CBABDB, you know, very complex schemes of rhyming, techniques, multi-syllabic rhymes, and double entendres, words inside of words, the technical aspect of what it
metaphors,
means to be a
yeah,
poet.
All that
right.
Too, right.
Metaphors, similes, all of the technical aspects of what it means to put words together in a very unique way to convey whatever it is you're trying to convey. So in my opinion, you know, that's what makes a good rapper, a good rhymer. And there are a lot of guys that can do that. Most of the guys that reach a high level, and a good chunk of guys that never reach a high level, can all do that. You know what I'm saying? Just by mere fact of if you've been in the game rapping professionally or not, and you put any effort into developing your poetic skills, chances are pretty good that you're a very decent rhymer. You can do all of that stuff. You can change up your tempo. Like, you can literally do all of that stuff. Chances are very good. But that doesn't necessarily, in my opinion, make you an MC. MCing, in my opinion, is about impact, about connection to the people, about ability, the ability to make change, the ability to be felt, the ability to create a movement. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like...
Mm-hmm.
Stay in power as well. I gotta say, stay in power is in there, but stay in power is more so to do with, in my opinion, with rapping than being an MC. But MCs do have a level of staying power. They, because of the mere fact that they can connect. But mostly when I think of MCs, I think about message and impact.
Right.
You know,
right,
how
right.
powerful was your message, and what is the impact that it had? And the impact is largely going to determine the power. Because there are a lot of guys that haven't, when you just hear their messages outright, it doesn't seem very powerful. But then when you look at the impact that it's had, it's been like a major impact, like just tremendous.
Yeah, I get you, because when you, because I think about like you said, the technical skills of people being real technicians. Like the different cadences and stuff, they can able to do whatever. You know, like you and I were talking one time, and we'll talk about how, like when you're doing a rapping or a freestyle challenge, and you throw the different beats to a person, and they are able to catch every beat and just ride the beat. Because I see it like a rapper is like when you have gotten into that groove of that beat, and you just flowing with the beat, like you and the beat are one, and it's just like you're into it, and you're just riding that dang on beat. Now, that's a rapper. A rapper can do that, but that rapper may not be saying nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But what that rapper is saying, the way they saying it, they saying it so cleverly, and it's so witty and stuff. Because being witty is something that goes into being a great rapper as well as a great MC. But with even that MC, because like examples, Eminem's flow is way better than Tupac's flow, but Tupac's message has a greater impact on overall hip-hop culture than Eminem's does.
Mm-hmm.
But if you talk about the technical aspects of rapping, Eminem blows him away. But if you're talking about whose music do you really, really, really feel more, you're going to have more people within the different aspects of hip-hop culture that feel Tupac. Yeah, you're going to have some black folk, and you're going to have some white folk and all that stuff that feel Eminem. But if I didn't go through that stuff that he went through, because a lot of stuff that Tupac talked about is stuff that can be related to cross cultural, and some of the Eminem's can too, yeah, but it's the way Tupac gave it to you as well. And there's no slight to M, because M is a dope MC, one of the greatest of all time. But we're talking about the rap versus the MC aspect. But Eminem is the technician of the two. You can't take that away from him. Like Immortal Technique, the technician. Twista, the technician. But nobody regards Twista as one of the greatest MCs or going to say, well, I feel Twista more. You're going to have some people who do. But more people would feel the Biggie Smalls than the Twista. Even though, don't get it twisted, Biggie's techniques were, Biggie had techniques, but Biggie's, the way he said things were better than a Twista or something like that, or people felt his music because of the content that he had.
Well, when it comes to, and that's the thing, like, when it comes to technique, a lot of people aren't well-versed, or they haven't heard enough hip-hop music to make a balance. Like, people be like, Eminem can rap his ass off, as if he's the only rapper that can rap their ass off.
Right.
Most of the rappers on that level can rap their ass off. But, like, here's an example. You got, in the use of Tupac Eminem example you just used, we could use Tupac's Dear Mama.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most classic songs that anybody has ever written, especially to their mama. And then you look at, okay, we'll look at the Eminem song.
What is that, Cleaning Out My Closet or something?
You can use Cleaning Out My Closet, or you can use Rap God, or you can use any song you want. But primarily I'm going to talk about Rap God, actually, because Rap God is a more extreme in the two, where you had Dear Mama, Tupac, making this compelling story, talking about his mother, her up, the ups and downs, how much he loved her, and the way he said every word was just impactful. Like, it was just like there was meaning to it, and you felt that song, you related to it. It made you want to call your mama. But then you go into Rap God, and I realize people are going to say that's not a fair assumption, but I'm just illustrating the difference between a technician and a messenger.
Right.
Dear Mama,
right,
was a song with a message from a messenger. Rap God was a technician. If you break that song down, rhyme for rhyme, bar for bar, Eminem did some of the most crazy and intricate maneuvers that you will ever hear an MC do in a song. The song is just ridiculously crazy when you break it down. The disgusting part of that is, the song has absolutely no substance. There is absolutely nothing being conveyed in that song other than the fact that Eminem can rap his ass off. That's the only thing being conveyed in that song. The message isn't deep or anything like that. He titled it Rap God, I'm sure, so he could showcase his technical abilities. And he did that. But does that make him a dope MC or one of the greatest rappers? Because I'm sure if Tupac wanted to do a song like that, he could do it as well. And then you want to talk about...
You mean like the technical intricacies?
Right.
I'm be honest, I don't think he could.
I don't think he could do it to the level that Eminem did, because you got to remember, rap evolves as an art form just like everybody else. And Eminem being able to study a Tupac and study a Big L and study all these other guys, the Twista and all these other guys, he was able to pick things from them. Whereas Tupac didn't have a lot of those advanced mechanics to study from. Not sure that he would have studied from them even if he could, because at that time it wasn't acceptable for you to take things from other people. Your style had to be completely your own. But I feel what you're saying. I don't think he could have did it to that level. But to that point, I don't think Eminem can do what Twista does to the level that Twista does it.
Well, see, and so when we talk about the difference, because Twista is in a lane of his own when it comes to, I think maybe you may have like Immortal Technique and maybe a couple other rappers who in that lane with Twista, because I think Eminem and Twista are similar but so different as far as the being able to articulate and be fast with it. The way Eminem does it isn't as crisp as the way that's what Twista does. He's a master at rapping in that fashion. Eminem, like, let me see. Eminem is like like a I don't want to say it in a way to disrespect either one, but what I'm trying to say is Eminem is an all around rapper, like a Kobe Bryant or a Russell Westbrook or something like that, or like a, let's say LeBron, right? More so because it's so many different things that Eminem brings to the table as an MC, and he do it all well. But he's not like the master at any of these, but he just do it all well. And so in that aspect, I think it may be a little unfair to put him and Twista in the same, because to me, Eminem, I don't know what other rapper you could really compare him. There are others, I just can't think off the top of my head right now. But to me, M has carved out his own lane as far as being versatile enough to be good, to be able to do all these different styles. But there isn't one you can just pinpoint him in, though.
Well, I think, and not to center the whole conversation around M,
right,
actually goes to show that he does have some influence.
Right.
But I don't think Eminem is unique in his ability to do that. I think he's unique in his ability to, or in his desire to want to showcase that. I think there are a lot of other guys out there. I've heard Twista rap slow on songs. I've heard, you know, and that's why I've mentioned Twista, because at the time I was a big fan of Maze. And I've heard him do all of the things that people say he can't do. He got famous for doing that fast rapping stuff. That's what he, you know, like that became his bread and butter, because nobody else was twisting it like he was. Not even Bone Thugs and Harmony was really breaking it up the way he was.
Right.
But if you listen to his entire catalog, the man can do everything. It's just
right.
He doesn't get it. And I think Eminem, but then again, like I said in this other discussion we were having, I think Eminem gets he gets points, because a lot of black people suffer from cool white person syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
CWPS. You know, whenever a white person comes in doing something that's considered black, and they do it with any level of skill or sophistication, you know, we want to hold them up as somebody that's really dope, when they're not really dope. They're an anomaly. They're unique. You can even call them exotic if you want, but there's a difference between that and being dope. You know, so you know, I think about somebody like a Method Man or a Redman. They can do it all. You know, jack of all trades. I think about somebody like a T.I.
Yeah, I see, and my bad, not to cut you off. See, that's what I wanted to get to. That's what I was just transitioning to, because I was going to say, let's name a couple rappers who we think, because we kind of segue into it, who could bring the full package to the table. Because me, the first one that come to my mind is Nas. I think Nas is if not the greatest, one of the greatest MCs of all time, because he is a full package that can do it all.
The only hiccup Nas has, and I'm a huge Nas fan, and I don't even know if you would call it a hiccup, but the only Nas is cadence. I haven't really heard Nas elevate his cadence to a level that would be considered quick, or even, you know, much less fast.
That's not his. He can, but that's not his strength.
Other than that, though, Nas is most definitely the total package. He's shown that he can do everything to
right.
different levels. Now, when he was doing that fucking Escobar shit and all that,
like that Nostradamus was hot garbage, man. I hated that
trash.
Album.
But he at least showcased that, you know, I can do it. You know, it is possible,
but it's
for
like
me to do this.
Right. So let me see. To me, you have a Nas, that's a total package. Jay-Z is a total package rapper. Black Thought from the Roots, total package. I ain't really hear Big L tell stories, so I'm not going to say him. Rakim.
I heard him tell one story, but you got to remember, like, Big L, he only had one studio album
come
out.
Right. And see, that's why. I mean, Big L has to be mentioned, but I can't in good conscience say that he's a total package. That's just, and not saying that he's not. I just don't have the information. But I think one of the like MJG, man, and I every time me and you talk, I always bring his name up because I think MJG don't get his due, because I think MJG is one of the most totally packaged, equipped MCs of all time. But don't nobody really give him his credit, because I've heard him do it all. I've heard him do anything your favorite rapper can do.
Oh yeah, MJG is dope. And I didn't even, my cousin put me on MJG when he left. I forget which CD it was, MJG and 8-Ball. He left it in the car, and I just plugged it in like, who the fuck is this? And I was blown away from the first track to the last track. I didn't even give it back to him. He asked me, had I seen the CD? I told him, nah, man, I ain't seen it. So I definitely give you that. MJG. But even in that, you know, both Andre and Big Boy from Outkast.
I was just thinking that. I hate that people try to excuse me. They try to say that Outkast could be Outkast without Big Boy, and that's not true. Like, there is no Outkast without Big Boy. Like, people,
right.
And that just goes to show that people really didn't listen to Outkast like they're supposed to, because Big Boy was behind a lot of the production and the creation of a lot of those songs and hooks and stuff. If you really knew their style and you really knew what each artist brought to the table and things like that. So, I do just want to say this, to put this little disclaimer out. You know, when we are one of the main reasons we compare people to Eminem when we talk about Eminem, because the motherfucker just so dope. And we criticize everything and everybody harsh, but Eminem do get some of the criticism from us, or not necessarily even criticism, but we use his name as far as topics of discussion because he is dope. But we do see things that come with being a white person in hip hop that we just can't ignore because we tell the truth. So I do want to put that out there.
Well, even in that, you know, I think I use his name a lot because he's a readily recognizable name. Like, if we had a conversation talking about dope MCs,
and all we talked
about was Big L or Big Pun or any of the guys from the old school, people wouldn't know who the fuck we was talking about.
Yeah, I get you.
But
you even
say Eminem, you know, I'm over you. Oh,
know
I know
about
him.
But see, even in what you just said, I often ask people a lot of times, because people say Biggie Smalls, top one, top two, top three greatest rapper of all time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is Biggie Smalls a better rapper than Big Pun?
Which I disagree with that.
Because if you sat there and listened to Big Pun, it's going to be, you can't just come off and say, yeah, Biggie Smalls just a legitimate better rapper than Big Pun, because that'd be a lie.
Bold-faced lie. That's a strong lie.
Cause I mean, Pun, like big, and his son ill too. You could tell his son kind of studied his style because his son got some of the same cadences and the same delivery that Pun had. But it's like rappers like Pun, even like Inspector Deck and Tony Sunshine. Man, them cats don't get they do like they supposed to from these new generations. Of course, they ain't really listen to them, but them some of the illest MCs, man. I mean, like you said, T.I., one of the illest MCs of all time. And it's just because remember, listeners, when we talk about good rapping, we're talking about from the aspect of how you say what you say and what you saying. And then the impact that comes from how you say what you saying and what you're saying. Because the rappers that we're naming, we think, have that it factor. These are the rappers that we will put into the barrel. Now, what criteria would you use? Like, if we had to put together a top 20, what different aspects or what three to five areas would you use as far as criteria to rank the rappers or to categorize them?
for me, it would be your umbrellas, umbrella criteria. Stuff like, one of the things would be catalogs, body of work.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you have? Another thing would be, what we said, catalog, technique, mm-hmm. and impact. Those are the three things I would use, but those are all umbrella categories. Nope. Things that have to be broken down even further before they have any real meaning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, because so,
those are the areas I would use, though.
Because even when you say a catalog, the first name that pops in my mind is LL. Because when we're talking about greatest, nobody ever, especially nowadays, nobody ever mentions LL. But, and my question is, man, that's one of the names you should be starting with.
But that's 100% true, though. And that's why I feel like when we having these discussions, one, we need to have firm criteria on
you do need why criteria.
These people are on the list. But two, you know, and that's not only does that legitimize your list, but that also invites people into the discussion that you wouldn't have been thinking about otherwise. People that get shortchanged all the time. Another person that gets shortchanged all the time is Will Smith.
Yeah, Will Smith do get shortchanged all the time because, I mean, whether people want to admit it or not, whether they like it or not, Will Smith has his impact on hip-hop can't be overlooked.
It can't. I mean, and he did it all without cursing. Now, was he right. a wordsmith? Was he one of the dopest rappers ever? Nah, not technically speaking. But in terms of impact, in terms of staying power, durability,
yeah.
In terms of catalog size.
Because,
you know.
I mean, I might be wrong, but and I'm gonna Google it now, but isn't he the highest selling rapper of all time?
I think Eminem is, I think. But I'm hesitant to even point to that because I go in the direction and say, you know, record sales don't mean nothing to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, and see, that's the thing. Record sales don't tell the story. Oh, no, I was all the way off, man. They got Ludacris at number 10 of. They got Nelly at number 8. What is this? This is IMDb, IMDb.com. They got Eminem number 1.
Oh, well, then that's a legit list if this IMDb.
Kanye West number 2, Jay-Z 3, Tupac 4, DMX 5, Outkast 6, Beastie Boy 7, Nelly 8, Wayne 9. Just the 8, 9, and 10. Let's just be real. Like, Ludacris didn't make great albums. That first album, that Back for the First Time, that was a classic. Now, Wayne, Wayne rap when he want to rap. But Nelly, come on, man. Nelly. But, yeah, whatever. But record sales do count. I'm not, record sales do count, but record sales don't tell the whole story because record sales don't necessarily say that your product is good. It's like the team around you who promote your product is good.
Well, that's why I don't put a lot of stock in record sales because, in my opinion, record sales is not about your ability as an MC. It's about your ability as a brand, your marketing team, and how much money do you have to market and promote yourself, and this, that, and the third. Because we have seen records from people with subpar talent do great numbers. You know, Soulja Boy.
What, did the record or the single?
Well, the single did great numbers.
Right.
But the single was enough to not just catapult his career, but catapult like 3 or 4 other careers.
Yep.
So, but you know, that I just use that as an example.
But also though, look at this too though. It's all about the system too because if you take a song that we don't like and you hear that song 10 times a day every day for the next 6 months, after a while, that song not gonna be as unbearable because you've been got used to it, and that's what they do. They program you to like the songs and things like that. And if the song is good, then that helps the song. But if the song is bad, then it don't really. I mean, it does still help the song, but it don't help the culture.
Well, that's the deal, though. When we're talking about hits, hits can be manufactured, and they know this at this point.
Right.
They know how many records they need to, how many times that record needs to spin before it become a hit, whether you like it or not. If you hear a song 8 times a day for 2 weeks, you like that song. It
right.
don't even matter if it's a good song or not. You like it.
Because, I mean, to me, and I don't want to take away from songs that's legitimate classics, because we got a lot of songs that just legitimate classics, like Who Shot Biggie Smalls? If we don't get them, they gonna get us all. I'm down for running the phone, cause they say they haul. Like that album, that Let's Get Free, but just that line there, just that line. That line gonna live on forever. Dead Prez, because of that Let's Get Free album, that's one of, man, that's my shit. Like, I remember I was driving back from Tampa, I listened to that album 4 or 5 times straight, cause it's, to me, it's just that good. But classic stuff like that still happens, but it's the organicness of the classic albums and the classic songs. Like it's missing. It's truly missing. But when it happens, though, because it does happen, and when it happens, it feels good. Because look at J. Cole. Like, people often say, when they talk about who's the best rapper of this era now, people are going to say Kendrick Lamar, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the streets are telling us that they feel J. Cole more than Kendrick Lamar, because how the hell you go platinum with no real singles and stuff like that, and no real promotions on your album, you go platinum. But J. Cole going platinum because people feel his music. Like Big Crit and them may not sell more than Kendrick or J. Cole, but people feel his music. And I'm not saying people don't feel Kendrick, because people do feel Kendrick, but when it comes to saying who's the best of this era, because Kendrick is popular and because of his technical skills, people often say him first. But I often ask, is he really the best right now? Is he really? Because if we really look at the landscape, mainstream and hip-hop, and we compare everybody, can we really pull out one person and say this one person is the best, whether it's Kendrick Lamar, Ciroc, J. Cole, Big Crit, whether it's whoever the new cat, I ain't gonna lie, I think Schoolboy Q, kind of, I think he alright. I like to listen to him a little bit. I'm checking out this Dave East dude or whatever, but it's some MCs out there, some female MCs, like the group Oshun. They are singers and MCs. I think they're dope, but they may not get that due as far as who's the best because of that mainstream push that people get. But I often wonder what goes into people's heads when we're talking about why people are good at what they do.
Well,
if that makes sense.
Because there's been no, because for so long, rap and hip hop has been left to the category of who you feel and who you don't feel. Right now, people are and it's not saying you can't feel who you want. I mean, like I said, honestly, Eminem technique-wise is one of the dopest rappers to ever do it. Technique-wise, one of. I didn't say he was. I said one of. But I'm not really feeling him, and haven't been feeling him since the Eminem show.
I mean, I can agree. I mean, I've never felt his music like that. I don't feel him. But if we talk about, if we got to put together a list of the best rappers of all time, if you leave him off, I'm going to karate chop you in your face.
Well,
because now you're being petty.
Well, right. We got to protect from bias. And there are a lot of guys that I like more than Eminem that I could not responsibly put above Eminem.
And see, that's why you need criteria. That's why I'm tired of people just throwing out names. There has to be a criteria what we're using, and stick to the criteria when we're breaking down MCs, because like we're saying, I'm not a very big Jay-Z fan, but you got to give credit to where credit is due. Jay-Z, man, Jay-Z can black out on an album if he want to. Now, I am still mad at him for that lackluster verse that he gave in Renegade. But when we talking about like greatest of all time, like I never have and I never will ever buy a Jay-Z album. But when I'm putting together my list of greatest MCs, Jay-Z gonna be on there. And that doesn't mean I haven't listened to all this work, because I've listened to all of it. But I hated those in my lifetime for Volume 1, 2, and 3. I hated that Rock Lobster Me. I hated most of Jay-Z albums. But when you come down to putting together a list of MCs, if you leave him off, you're gonna get hit in your face too.
Well, I don't think you can. And neither, like, if we're talking about lists, like, even with Eminem and Jay-Z, they're on my list. Jay-Z is in my top 15, thinking about it. And Eminem is in my top 15, 20. Easy, thinking about it. Now, and I think when I say, if I'm thinking, if you can put together a top 20 list of MCs and leave Jay-Z or Eminem off, then you're being biased, in my opinion. You're being petty. Because I dislike Jay-Z probably just as much as any Jay-Z hater. But when it comes to giving the man his respect for his ability and his influence in the culture, we can talk about him stealing lyrics. We can talk about all that other shit. We can talk about that all day long. But the fact of the matter is, Jay-Z is one of the most influential rappers to ever put a pen to the pen.
I think, and it's just Joseph Ward opinion, I think behind Tupac, he's the second most influential rapper of all time. Give me another rapper to make people change their whole fashion style just because he said, and we talk, man, people stopped wearing throwbacks within a week. Within a week, because he said a line in a song, people stopped wearing throwbacks in a week. Jay-Z's influence is sick, man. And if you discount that man for what he's done, you a hater. You straight up hater. Like, I'm a Nas fan. I'm Team Nas all day. Right. And I think Ether was one of the greatest, if not the greatest, diss song of all time. I take him over Jay-Z any day. But you cannot talk bad about Jay-Z. You cannot leave Jay-Z off no list. You cannot discredit. And that's what I hate about a lot of these lists that people put together, because they put the list together based off their feelings. And you can't put a list together based off how you feel about an MC or an artist. You have to put that list together based off some real criteria that could be measured and juxtaposed. Because if you're not doing that, then that list don't hold no authenticity. I mean, and you're not doing any justice to the culture either.
Well, but even in that, that's a testament to Jay-Z that he was even able to survive Ether.
Right, right. Because I mean, look, like, I'm my bad, not to cut you off, but Jay-Z basically after Ether, he got stitches and kept moving.
Pretty much. I mean, Nas basically shot him in the face.
Right. He got up and walked away.
Right, and he got up, shook his head and walked it off. Like, that is not to be discounted.
That has never happened before and never happened again.
And it never will. And no, and that was where I really started giving Jay-Z his respect. No other artist could have absorbed Ether the way Jay-Z did. And if you don't know what we're talking about, go and listen to Ether. And you gotta remember, this is at a time when if somebody eat your ass up real good on the track, people will stop buying your music.
Right. Right.
You become lame. Like, motherfuckers be, man, I don't listen to Jay-Z no more. He's lame ass. You heard what Nas did? But people didn't do that.
Nope.
It was like,
nope.
Nah, Nas got him. But Jay-Z still the shit, though.
Right. Because, and one of the reasons why is because The Takeover is still one of the best diss songs of all time. Like nobody, but you also got to give Nas credit too, because Jay-Z basically hit Nas with a hatchet, with like a machete, and Nas got up and like, all right, I got something for you, I'll be back. So you got to give both of them credit for that, because Nas was big enough to survive The Takeover as well.
Well, I think what Nas really showcased, because for Nas, I think for a lot of people it was, can Nas stand up to Jay-Z? Now, for real, I think for people that knew and that was in the culture, we knew lyrically, that's not even a question. That's not even a matter of discussion.
Right.
But for the average listener, you know, what, Jay-Z and Nas getting into it? What is that about? Nas need to sit down somewhere. And so, you know, but Nas pretty much was like, okay, Jay-Z bringing a knife to a gunfight, so let me show him what guns do.
Right.
But just the fact that, and that's something I marvel about even today when I'm talking hip-hop. And people, you know, I talk to some of the kids, and they, why, Nas and Jay-Z was beefing? Man, you ain't heard of Ether?
Oh.
But, yeah.
Man, come on. Didn't fuck Jay-Z. Didn't.
Right.
Man.
But see, once again, though, how can we bridge the gap between the past and today? How can we bridge this gap? Because it's one thing to complain about the new hip hop, but it's another thing to do something about it. So, in your opinion, and I'm not asking you to change the world with your answer, but how do you think we could bridge the gap so the younger generation, the newer generation, can understand the aspects of the culture and the culture can be respected better and the quality of music can be better, or we can at least have more balance in hip-hop?
I actually think what's required is that people talk. I think the old heads need to talk to the youngsters, and I don't mean like one-way discussion where they pretty much just bitching the youngsters out. I mean like a real live discussion where they explain to the youngsters why this means so much, where it comes from. When you got rappers nowadays making millions of dollars off the culture and they don't even know, you know, where the culture came from, the origins.
Yeah.
You know, like why they do what they do, why this is the way it is, why we rock like this, why we lean like that.
Man, look.
You know, you got all these youngsters in the game right now doing all these things and completely ignorant to it. Like, that's a problem.
It's unacceptable for you to be a rapper and don't know who DJ Kool Herc and DJ Hollywood is. That's unacceptable. But once again, who took the time to teach these young G's what the business is, what the history and the culture was about hip hop? Who took the time to preserve the culture?
And that's why I said I think that's what's needed. I think there needs to be a discussion. Record labels need to be forced to bring back artist development. I think the artists can get together and make that happen, because these artists need to be developed.
They do. They lack so many skills.
Right. And there are so many skills that are going to be lost. And nowadays, you got guys that are making they come up off of a hot producer. And that's fine. Well, it's not fine. Because if you ask me, if you really like a beat, go and buy the producer's CD.
Right.
That tells more for the producer than you buying an album that he already got the check for the album, you know. But I think there's a bravery aspect to that too. If producers were brave enough to put out just instrumental CDs, I think that rappers overnight would have to upgrade their craft level. I think they would. Now, on the other end, I think it would cause some problems because, you know, you have a lot of people coming out with music, using their music, and, you know, they don't want that. But I don't know. It's a catch-22, but I do think that there needs to be more discussion going on between the old heads and the youth. And even in that, I think the old heads need to come together and use what little bit of power they have left while they still have it. To tell these youngsters, look, if you don't respect your craft, we're not going to allow you to participate.
Straight up. So, well, we're running out of time, and this is a great conversation. We definitely got to, Well, man, you know, we're going to set up a panel discussion, a hip-hop panel discussion in the future. We're going to bring this conversation back to a panel discussion, man, because this is a great conversation, man. Mm-hmm. So, as you all know, I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin, and this is the Freedom Train podcast series, which is your community resource podcast series. Remember, our mission is to connect professionals, business owners, and resources to our community members to help uplift and empower our communities. The Freedom Train is sponsored by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC, which is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit www.paxinc.org. That's PACTSINC.org. Make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _FreedomTrain. Make sure you like our Freedom Train Facebook page and subscribe to the Freedom Train podcast series on iTunes and Google Play Store. So, hey, remember next week we have we're interviewing the lead pastor, church planter, and Impact Life Ministries entrepreneur, Eric Thomas. He got a long title. I might have messed it up, but he do a lot. He's an impact and life minister. He's a lead pastor and a church planner and an entrepreneur, and he do it all. So next Tuesday, we're interviewing Mr. Eric Thomas, so y'all make sure y'all stick around for the Freedom Train podcast series. And with that, Pat.
What up?
Two fingers up like a player, man. We're going to catch everybody later.
All right.